I'm Eddie Lawrence, and we're here for our Wednesday evening time of teaching and communion. And tonight we're going to talk about our new covenant meal. And this week, our hearts and our minds are thinking of Holy Week. And we've been addressing that in our daily devotionals. And tonight, with that in mind, I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about our new covenant meal. And first of all, hello to you, Jana. Hey, Sarah. Blessings to you. Vicky, Mike, blessings. Pastor Dot, Miss June, hello. Howdy, how are you? Hope all of you are doing well, having a good day. God is so good. He really, really is. Mickey is on her way home from doing Nana duty, and I don't know if she'll be able to join me before it's over or not, but she sends her greetings and her love. Hey, Pastor Gary and Susie, we love you. Praying for you, Pastor Gary. You are such an incredible blessing. I just encourage you and know that we're praying for your complete healing and restoration. And blessings to one and all of you. Now, 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be back in the building for our regular Wednesday evening services. So we'll miss doing what we're doing here, but it's going to be good to be back together in the building, and so we look forward to that. Hey to you too, Mike. Bless you, brother. Hey, Sandy. Good to see you. All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, on our daily devotionals this week, our minds are on Holy Week. And on Tuesday, we talked about Palm Sunday. We talked about the triumphant entry of Jesus, how fickle the crowd was. And we drew some practical applications out of that. You know, they were hailing him as king on the first part of the week and hailing crucify him by the end of the week. But Jesus, he stayed steady. And we too need to keep our eyes on Jesus and on the purposes of God for our life. This morning, we looked at an occasion when Jesus visited Bethany on what we're calling Holy Week. That's the week of his passion, the week leading up to Good Friday and the resurrection on Sunday. He went to the house of Simon the leper in Bethany, and that's where Mary broke open the alabaster box. And we drew some practical lessons out of that for us to kind of tune our hearts during this week. All eyes, all hearts on Jesus. I keep repeating that. That's what this week is about. That's what our lives are to be about. Amen. And so tonight I want to talk about our new covenant meal. Now, good news for you. The old covenant was wonderful. It was God's way of bringing together a nation of people and giving them promised through their father Abraham. And there's so much involved in the old covenant, but here's some good news for you, New Testament believer. We now are under a new covenant, and Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 8 tells us that our new covenant is better. It is based on better promises, and it is. You see, the old covenant kind of had the message, a Savior's coming. The new covenant message is the Savior has come, is here, and is coming again. So our new covenant meal is absolutely rooted in the Old Testament Passover. But now Jesus has become our Passover. Jesus is our Passover lamb. So I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, because we know during the week of his passion, what we call Holy Week, that Jesus drew together on on Passover that night. He drew his disciples together. And I'm teaching this tonight because we're going to be doing communion here at the end of this teaching. He drew his disciples together, and he instituted the new covenant meal. And we can read about that in the Gospels, what we call the evangelists, the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they present to us the fact that Jesus transitioned that Old Testament Passover meal, and he brought it to the fulfillment of its meaning into what would become his people, the church, which was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Actually, there's biblical evidence that his ecclesia is called out once. He was busy doing that while he was here. But we know the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his disciples, and they were empowered to go into the world on the day of Pentecost. And also, not only the four Gospels, but Paul, the apostle born out of due time, he also gave us some important teaching concerning what we call communion, Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, the communion meal. There's different terminology that people use, but it's all rooted in Jesus gathering those disciples together on the night before he was to be crucified on the following morning, and he had the Passover meal with them. Now, in order to better understand this, our new covenant meal, let's talk about the Old Testament Passover. We don't have time to get into it in much detail, but I just want to make mention of a few things. First of all, it was literal. It was historically literal. It was a real event in history. The Passover, there was a real nation called, a group of people called the Israelites. There was the real nation called Egypt, who had Pharaoh as their leader, and they had enslaved the Israelites. And we know that God gave Moses commandment to roast the lamb, and you know, they ate the bitter herbs, they roasted the lamb, they ate it, could not be any leaven, and then they took the blood and applied it to their doorpost with the promise that the death angel, when he came through, that they would be protected. And we know that it literally happened. The Bible records that for us. And there's a lot of archaeological evidence, too, concerning all of this. So I just want to say that it was literal. Archaeologists have actually found chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea in the location that the scripture describes where they crossed. Next thing I want to say, it was supernatural. It wasn't just something that happened that the Bible writers put a spin on it to exaggerate it and make it look like it was something which it was not. It was supernatural, it was literal, but it was also supernatural. There was an angel of death that came through. There was the death of the Egyptian firstborn. There was the transfer of wealth. God moved upon the Egyptian people just to give their silver and gold and possessions to the Israelites as they exited Egypt. There was a mass healing because the book of Exodus tells us that when they went out, there was not a feeble person among them. Now, after years and years of enslavement and making bricks and the taskmasters whipped and lashes on their back, you know, there was probably a lot of physical ailments they had to bear with, having lived life that way. But the night they went out, no one was feeble. I believe there was a mass healing. And today there are even testimonies of people who are healed as they take communion. And by his stripes we are healed. We know that means spiritual healing, our wholeness, our salvation. But it also means inner healing, emotional healing, mental healing, physical healing. A whole gospel for the whole person. And so it was supernatural. There was a wall of fire God put between them and the Egyptians. God sent a wind, parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground as the water was held back. When the Egyptians followed, God caused the Red Sea to fall upon them. And so all of that was supernatural fireworks. It was literal. But it was also supernatural. That blood, when it was applied, it caused the death angel to pass over those people, and they were spared from death. I would also say it was sufficient. It protected them. God told them, if you'll do this, you'll be protected. And the blood shed on the doorpost was sufficient to protect them. Even though death was brought on their enemies, they were protected. And there I see my sweetheart walking by. Okay. Yeah. It, not only was it sufficient, by the way, I hear the dryer in there tumbling away. I forgot to turn it off. So I'm sorry if you're having to put up with that, but I'm going to carry on. Okay. it was also to be remembered. It said God commanded Moses to tell the people that they would observe this, and it was observed perpetually. But on the night that Jesus did it, things shifted, because not only was it literal, not only was it supernatural, not only was it sufficient, not only was it to be remembered, but it was also prophetic. That blood applied to the doorpost was picturesque. It was prophetic of the blood that would be applied to those who placed their faith in the Savior who would come, the one who would come and fulfill that Abrahamic promise that through Abraham's seed the whole world would be blessed. He would be the one that would come and deliver not just a nation of slaves out from under the tyranny of a tyrant here on earth, but any who would believe out of the bondage of sin under the tyrant called Satan, under the burden of guilt and shame and sin, when he would come, he would go much farther than what happened on that night in ancient Israel's history. It was prophetic. It pointed to the one who would come. And the New Testament connects the Passover lamb with Jesus as the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 5:7. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 29. Peter links the lamb without spot or blemish, which is also prescribed in Exodus 12:5, he links that with Jesus when he calls him the Lamb without blemish or defect or spot. 1 Peter 1, verse 19. Jesus is also qualified to be called one without blemish because of his life that was free from sin in Hebrews 4, 15. John sees Jesus and declares that he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That was John the Baptist. But then John the Revelator, John the disciple who had the revelatory experience we call the book of Revelation, he saw Jesus as one who had been slain. Revelation 5 verse 6. Jesus was crucified during the time that the Passover was observed. Mark 14 verse 12. And Jesus himself celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples at the Last Supper. And he transformed the Passover the symbols and everything into the Lord's Supper ceremony, because he said, he took the bread and he said, "Eat this, for this is my body." He took the cup and he said, "Drink this, for this is my blood shed for the remission of sins." In other words, he demonstrated that he was the fulfillment of the prophetic purpose behind the original Passover. So that's the rich heritage and history. That's the backdrop for the Lord's Supper, our new covenant meal. And what a great promise we have now. God invites all who are saved to eat at his table, eat at the Lord's table, to eat the bread, remembering Jesus' body given, to drink the cup, remembering his blood shed. Because we now have a new covenant. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." He declared that in Matthew chapter 26. The new covenant of my blood. Not the blood of a lamb put on a doorpost. That was the prophetic. But the fulfillment was the blood of God's Son, the Lamb of God, shed for the sins of the world. And John tells us he was the propitiation for our sins, but not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. So that Passover meal of the Old Testament was prophetic, but now it's become our new covenant meal. There's a lot more involved in it than that. But let me just remind you, Exodus 12:13 says, "The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." But now we can take that and say, we by faith have the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, applied to us. and the wrath of God, the eternal death and separation we would experience from God. Now all of that passes by us because Jesus has already borne it. Like that lamb gave its life, shed its blood, went through the fire. Jesus went through the fire. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus conquered death. He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, advocating for us, interceding for us. God now views us through the blood of his Son as righteous, as the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. Woo, that's a new covenant based on better promises. All God's promises now are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Our relationship with God is through Christ, the one who fulfilled the Abrahamic promise. And so our message to the world is Jesus saves. And we always want to honor the blood. We always want to honor his sinless body that became sin for us. And let's do that now as we think about Holy Week and what it means, and Good Friday when Jesus died for us, and Resurrection Sunday when he conquered death and rose from the dead. Wow, tonight we want to honor him and worship him like we've been doing on Wednesdays, every Wednesday evening. We are commanded in the scripture to meet at the Lord's table. And we, during this season, we've been doing it here online every Wednesday night. And so I hope you have your elements, your bread and your cup ready. And now let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for these beautiful truths and beautiful pictures in scripture. And Lord, we know the well goes so much deeper than we've gone tonight, but thank you for what we've been reminded of. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've gone through. You could have come down from that cross, but you stayed there and you died that we might live. You suffered death that we might have life. You bore our sin that we might be free from sin. You travailed through the wrath so that we might escape the wrath. You took our judgment so that we could have God's mercy. And oh, how we praise you for it tonight. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the bread that's come from heaven. We worship you tonight. We honor you tonight. And we remember that night so long ago when you ate that meal with your disciples and you told them that you wouldn't eat it with them again until you come in your kingdom. And so here we are eating it together as your body, remembering you. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we'll all eat it together with you in your kingdom. Thank you for your body given. Would you eat the bread with me? And just tell him out loud, thank you for your body, Lord Jesus, given for me. Thank you that you lived a sinless life to rescue me from a sinful life. Just thank him for that. Now, let's bless the cup. Father, thank you for the blood of Christ shed for our sins. Thank you that we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the benefits and blessings of the new covenant that has been established through the shedding of his blood. Thank you that we remember that tonight. We remember, Jesus, what you've done for us through the cross, through the shedding of your blood and the giving of your body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power in your precious blood, O Lamb of God. What can wash away our sins, Lord Jesus? Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from your veins, O Emmanuel, where we as sinners are plunged beneath its flow. We lose all our guilty stains. Thank you. You bore our guilt, our sin, and we've received your righteousness. Lord Jesus, how wonderful you are. Thank you for your blood. Just thank him for his bloodshed. Would you do that? Thank you, Jesus, for your blood shed for my sins. Thank him for the new covenant. Now, to honor him, worship him, would you drink the cup with me now? Oh, precious is the flow That washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you for the blood. Can you just thank him for his blood shed? You know, some people, they're kind of put off by that. But listen, what's more precious than the blood of the Lamb of God that's been shed for us? There's such power. We overcome the enemy through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I hope you have a testimony that you know him. And I hope you're committed to him as long as you have a breath in your body, even unto the death. Amen. Well, in the morning at 9:05 at 91.3, I'll be on The Fix. They're Share-a-thon, and they're going to call me, and we'll talk a few minutes on there. Tune in, and we thank God for the ministry of The Fix through the years. They're just day in, day out, sharing music that worships the Lord and praying for people and sharing testimonies. And we thank God for Mark and Michelle and their ministry. And then at 10:30 in the morning, we'll be back here and doing our daily devotional for Holy Week. It'll be the third devotional, and that'll be at 10:30 in the morning. Again, get your heart tuned for Good Friday that's coming up, and be ready just to, we want to worship Jesus every day for what he's done. But this is a special season of the year when we're focusing on that week. His death, his burial, and his glorious resurrection. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Thanks for spending this time with me. And for those of you who may see it later, God's blessings to you as well. Hey, Alan, God bless you, brother. I hadn't seen you in years, but Alan and I went to school together. And bless you. Hey, I won't tell if you won't, brother. Amen. But bless you. Good to see you on here. And Kayla, blessings to you. Y'all have a good evening. Love you all.